And we're continuing now on the concept of perspective. And I want to first mention there are a few tips I give every guy when he gets engaged. And being that Be'ezrat Hashem, a few of you are going to get engaged in the near future. No, I don't know of anyone dating anyone seriously. I'm just wishing you that a few of you should get engaged soon. So I figure it's worth taking a few minutes to tell you in this vein one of the tips that I give every guy that gets engaged. You were brought up by your parents, and naturally they like you more or less. They like you. You're their child, and your spouse is going to be a daughter-in-law. Now your spouse's parents, well, they brought her up, so naturally they like her more or less, but they like her, and you are going to be a son-in-law, so. You're not a son, you're a son-in-law. On the one hand, the halacha expects a person to call his in-laws mom and dad. Abba, Ima, we find that David HaMelech, even as his father-in-law is trying to kill him, he calls him Avi, my father. That's where we derive this concept from. Part of Kibbut Avaim is that we call our in-laws mom and dad. Even though we do call them mom and dad, and our sages tell us, we learn from Yaakov Avinu, that a person doesn't mind calling his sons-in-law and daughters-in-law son and daughter. It says, Yaakov came with banav uvnotav, his sons and his daughters. What daughters? So the simple understanding is it's a reference to his daughters-in-law, and yet the Torah calls them his daughters. So they might call you son, but at the end of the day, biologically, you're not. And if they get upset at you, well, it's not the same as if they got upset at their own daughter. So the advice is that when at all possible, we don't enter conflict with our in-laws. Which means that let's say we're sitting and the in-laws say, we have a surprise for you. You know, every year we go on vacation to Eilat. And you're thinking, yeah, I know that Natsanua Beach, and you never understand why we don't come visit you. And they say, well, you know how great it is in Eilat. We go there, and this year we decided we have a surprise for you. We got another hotel room. You guys are joining us to Eilat. And you're thinking they flipped off their rocker. What's wrong with them? They think I could just stop my work just like that and come down to Eilat. And my wife, she has all her exams coming up. And anyways, it's a Natsanua Beach. I never go to such a place. What are they thinking? So your mind is doing somersaults, thinking how to erupt. And if you're intelligent, what you'll say is, wow, you thought of us? That's so nice of you. You saved money just to bring us along to the vacation in Eilat? Wow, thank you so much. And you'll express it emphatically. And then, after the Shabbos meal, when you go into the room with your wife, so you'll tell her, what do you think? And she'll say, I think you had too much to drink. And you'll say, why? And she'll say, what are you getting so excited about Eilat for? What do you mean? How's it going to work? It doesn't work with your schedule, it doesn't work with mine, and I thought you don't go to Natsanua beaches. What do you mean, Eilat? And then you'll tell her, no. You remember we agreed? I heard in class way back when, and when we got engaged, we agreed that I don't argue with your parents head on. So first of all, they meant to do something nice for us. I have to say thank you. Now let's figure out how you're going to come back to them and tell them why it doesn't work. Who's going to tell them it doesn't work? She. They're her parents. So I always tell couples, avoid conflict. And if you have to have conflict, then the one who has to raise the issue is the person's own child. Meaning, if it's her parents that you have an issue with now, let her talk to her parents. You should never stand there opposite one another. So, you two discuss what tactic you're going to take. Maybe she'll come back and say, Mom, Dad, it's a beautiful idea, but there's no way I'm going to be able to make it. I have my tests, I have my exams, and it's just not going to work. We really appreciate it. And maybe that's going to be the way out or a different way out. But at the end of the day, you're going to maintain harmony and you're going to lay good foundations for building a relationship by ensuring that you don't go head on with your in-laws. And the same thing, tell your wives, Be'ezrat Hashem. The same thing should be, if she has an issue with your parents, you should bring it up. We once had a couple that wanted a certain hall for their wedding. And the chassan side, they insisted on a different hall for the wedding. And the chassan couldn't care less, but the kala, she wanted a different hall. Now it happens to be that in that case, in my humble opinion, the kala was off her rocker. I mean, she was just, I couldn't understand her. The chassan had one of his parents, his mother was in a wheelchair, she couldn't walk. And the hall that the kala insisted on, the kala's mother wouldn't be able to attend. Like, they'd have to carry her wheelchair up, they didn't have an elevator, and it would be really, really uncomfortable and not nice to her mother-in-law. And the kala was insistent she wanted that hall. So I have a hard time respecting that. What I did tell them is that if you guys are going to be insistent to go on a hall like that, so then the one who has to put up the fight is the chassan. You guys have to reach common ground yourself. And do not enter the pitfall that couples sometimes do enter, and that is to tell the parents, well, I'm with you. She disagrees. Convince her and I'm with you. I'm okay. No, you have no problem with me. So sometimes the son-in-law does that. So now you have...
That's your first instinct. Like, if you call between, like, an argument between her parents, and the first thing, you don't want to get it, the first thing, you're like, oh, convince her.
So, what happens if... Sometimes they'll sit you down and they'll say, we're contemplating which hall to take. We think hall number Y is a good idea. What do you think? And you think it's a bad idea. So you're always entitled in life to say, we'll think about it. We'll get back to you. This is a rule in negotiating. If someone's trying to get you to agree to something, you're always allowed to take time to think. Anytime someone's pressuring you for a decision, don't decide. Chazal tell us, Nachla mevohelet barishona, ve'achrita lo tevorach. If you rush into something, it ain't going to work ultimately. Anything good comes in its set time. So, even if they're telling you, what do you guys think? And you say, I don't know, we'll discuss it. So, they say, so discuss it, kol hakavon. You're entitled to say, we will, we'll get back to you. You guys know the story about the rabbi who came to his date, and he's sitting opposite the girl, and it's and her father sits down at the head of the table, and he's sitting here, and she's sitting there, and her father says, "Feel at home, make believe I'm not here." So they say, "Okay," and they both get up and walk out. True story. I know the guy who it happened to. Sometimes parents will do that to you. They'll say, "Guys, discuss it and tell us what do you think." So don't do that. You don't discuss it in front of the parents. You, a husband and wife have to be a unified front. You come to a conclusion, and then, again, if the conclusion is going to be, is not going to agree with her parents, let her take that conclusion. If it's in disagreement with your parents, you take that conclusion. And even if in the conversation you held one way, she held the other way, at the end of the day you came to a conclusion, then you stand by that conclusion. You don't go to the parents and start telling them, well, I think like this, she thinks like that. That's not right. We have that halacha with regard to a court. When you leave court, so the judges can't tell a guy, well, I thought like you, the other judges, they ruled this way, so they overpowered me. You're not allowed to do that. The courts, once the case has been decided, the court has decided that this is the ruling. And then everything beyond that is no one's business, what the discussion was behind closed doors. So a person is always entitled to say, give us time, we'll talk about it, we'll get back to you. And the conversation doesn't, I don't see any reason it should take place in front of the parents. Now, this concept of a unified front is very important also with regards to the chinuch of our children. One of the most confusing things to a child is when the parents contradict one another. In a child's mind, Abba's always right. In a child's mind, Ima's always right. Well, if Abba and Ima disagree, so then there's a contradiction in truths. So one of the greatest ills we could do to a child is when we fight in front of the child. And one of the greatest gifts we can give a child is when there's harmony in the home, and parents should decide together what position they take. And parents also have to be mature enough to swallow their tongue a little bit, to be quiet. Sometimes you'll see your spouse doing something and you disagree. And you have to be prepared to be quiet and go along with it, because you shouldn't contradict your spouse. The harm you do by contradicting your spouse almost always is more counterproductive than what you think to gain. Most issues in chinuch aren't so critical. So sometimes you could have a situation where your spouse says, if you don't finish that chicken, you're not getting dessert. And you feel like, well, I would give him dessert. He ate two-thirds of the chicken. Okay, who has to make such an issue about the last piece of chicken? But once your spouse has made that deal, then you can't just go behind your spouse's back and slip him a little thing of dessert under the table. No, you're together in this. Couples should also try to be consistent in that if there's going to be giving in to the child, so then the one who made the rule should be the one to give in. So that the child doesn't think, well, oh, so Ima said, I'm not going to get dessert unless I finish my chicken. And Abba says, no, it's okay, you don't have to finish the chicken. What does the child think? Okay, next time I have an issue, I'll just go to Abba and I'll give in. So couples have to try and maintain the consistency also. And sometimes you buy the child a treat. So who's going to give him the treat? If it's a period where the mother's been extra tough with the child, so it's good to give her the treat to give the child. If it's a period where the father has been, these are things to think about with your spouses. But what's important to remember is that we're a unified front. We do things together. And just like with regard to our in-laws, all the more so, we have to be careful with regard to our children that we're together. We don't contradict one another. We could sometimes say, I don't know, I'll talk to your Ima, I'll talk to your Abba, we'll talk to one another. We have to decide what we think. We don't always have to have an answer for our children either. But we do have to constantly respect our spouse and not contradict them and not knock what they say. I've seen many a home where the father says no TV and then he goes off to work and the mother turns on the TV. Now I understand the mother. It's very hard. She has the kids, they're running around, they're pulling at her apron, they're driving her crazy. The easiest thing in the world is to turn on the TV. The issue of whether it's good for the children or bad for the children is a different question. But the spouse has to work out what their policy is going to be. They're harming the children even more by teaching them how to do things behind one another's back. That's even more harmful. So I'm not saying a couple should have a TV in the home to begin with. But they have to recognize that they're not only harming the children by the fact that they're turning on the TV, they're also harming them by the fact that they're teaching them to work behind one another's back. Now, just like in Avodat Hashem, we have the concept of Sul Meira Vaaseh Tov, leave that which is bad and promote that which is good. So too, with regard to our in-laws, a person has to know to do that as well. I always tell couples, your parents' first worry is my child happy? I always say you guys might have your first row in Sheva Brachos. Many a couple have their first fight during Sheva Brachos. Nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly okay. I mean, should work on not having fights, but if you have your first fight in Sheva Brachos, fine. So make a Shechiyonu. You've been through it, now continue with life. But do your parents the favor that when you show up to the first Sheva Brachos, wear a smile on your face. I always say it's a chesed. It's a chesed you're doing with your parents. If you only show up happy, then that's what they're looking for. Afterwards, it's a different story. But firstly, show them you're happy. Now, during the engagement period and also throughout marriage, one can strengthen the bond between one's spouse and one's own parents by stressing the good. Meaning, your wife made you a great supper. So, when you speak to your mother, make sure to compliment her. Tell her, you know, my wife takes such good care of me. She made me such a delicious supper. Your wife said that your mother's zucchini kugel is out of this world. So tell your mother when you speak to her, wow, my wife loved your zucchini kugel. A person has to look how to stress the good. Anything positive that's been said by the parent about the spouse should be quoted. Anything positive that's been said by the spouse about the parents should be quoted. So if your mother said that she wore a beautiful dress to to the engagement party, make sure to tell her, my mother really liked the dress you wore to the engagement party. She said you have such good taste. You wear such beautiful clothing. Tell her. When you convey the positive, you're strengthening, you're promoting goodwill between the parents and the spouse. Yeah. Last week we had a class on that. And we said that until we're married, then we should not speak about anything physical. It was a bad example. I was asking myself whether I should explain someone else's engagement party. Right. Fine. No, we mentioned last week, we had a class on that, until one is married, then it is not sanua for one to discuss anything physical, to discuss her beauty, her eyeshadow, her anything, the clothing she wears. After you're married, then you should. Before you're married, then that should be left out. There are a lot of things that one could compliment that are tzanua. So we said there's su mira v'asei tov. Now part of su mira, going away from that which is bad, is the laws of lashon hara. People make a mistake. They think that lashon hara is to everyone else, but my wife, she's like myself. I could tell her whatever I'm thinking or whatever happened. That's not true. Just like we're prohibited from saying lashon hara to any of our friends or to anyone else, so too we're prohibited from saying lashon hara to our spouse or to our parents, to anyone else. So to summarize what we discussed today, part of happiness is perspective, and our perspective can be affected by our parents. And one of the ways of promoting goodwill between our parents and our spouse is by coming to this agreement with our spouse that I won't quote anything bad my parents say about you to you. You won't quote anything bad your parents say about me to me. And I will quote all the good things my parents say about you to you. And you will quote all the good things your parents say about me to me. And I will say positive things about you to my parents, and you'll say positive things about me to your parents. And we discussed that in conversation with our parents. So whenever there is an issue that is to be raised, so the spouse, the one whose parents it is that we have the issue with, that's the one that should raise the issue. And we always approach issues as a unified front. And we said we are always allowed to say, we'll get back to you, we have to discuss it. And the discussion should not be in their presence. We have our own discussion, come to our own conclusion, and come back and talk it over with the parents.